Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When something catches us off guard or is a wonderful surprise, we might exclaim, "Wow!" Or we may say, "That was awesome! Where did that come from? Unexpected! That was fantastic!" All kinds of expressions we might use, and if we're of certain generations, we may say, "That was totally rad." Or, "Cowabunga, dude, what just happened?" I'm told by my kids that the expression right now continues to be sweet, as well as if something's really, really cool, it is lit. They're going to be mortified when I actually say that in the context of this sermon, lit. Well, would you believe, back in the day, the expression for a wow moment, something that really gave you that wow factor, was to say, "That's the greatest thing since sliced bread." Sounds kind of funny if you're of a certain generation. What's the big deal about sliced bread? I don't open my bread bag in the morning and make some toast and go, "Wowza, cowabunga, dude, sweet, I'm making bread that's pre-sliced." Not quite the same wow factor. But it was a big deal back in the 1930s. It was a company that made a certain kind of bread called Wonder Bread that decided in the 1930s to pre-slice their bread and put it on the market that way. People were skeptical, wondering if it would dry out because it had been pre-sliced, but then it became all the rage and became an accepted way to sell bread. It was that which we may think is why it was given the name Wonder Bread, the wonder of pre-sliced bread. But actually, the owner of the company, who was residing in Indianapolis, Indiana, had attended the Indianapolis International Balloon Races. They were held at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And when he was there, he was filled with wonder and awe in those hot air balloons that were racing against each other. So he brought back to the company an idea for the logo. It would be red, blue, and yellow balloons, and they would be on the front of Wonder Bread for many years to come. Well, in these coming 5 weeks, including today, we will be in the wonder of the Gospel of John, the sixth chapter. It begins by this wonderful story, two stories, in fact, one about bread, but throughout the Gospel of John, we will hear stories that lead us to Jesus as the bread of life. Well, it is one story that fills us with awe and amazement probably every time we hear it. The idea of Jesus using just a few loaves and a couple of fish to feed 5,000 men, women, and children, actually more than 5,000 people. Probably it was a good reminder today. And thank you, Jackson, for helping us visualize what it might have been like in the crowd to suddenly have a child called out and to offer his resources to the many. Jackson offered his resources as a reader of the word. For the people, it was the nourishment of food as they gathered to listen to Jesus. Now, coupled with this familiar story of the feeding of the 5,000, John's Gospel in chapter 6 begins also with a wonder-filled story of Jesus walking on water. Now, this story might have us saying, "Boy, that's the greatest thing since sliced bread." Amazing, isn't it, to imagine Jesus actually walking on water toward the disciples in the boat? But really, this story is unsettling. It is terrifying for the disciples. They are nearly capsized in the boat and wondering if they will survive when Jesus finally approaches them. I can't help but hear this story in the gospel today and think about just a couple of weeks ago, the headline news about what happened in Branson, Missouri. Perhaps you remember that story. Branson is a wonderful place for families to come and enjoy vacation time together. One of the attractions is a duck boat. It was a group on a duck boat out in inclement weather that should have probably come in a lot earlier, caught in the storm on the seas of Table Lake in Missouri. Their boat capsized, and 17 people drowned, including 9 members of one family. I don't know about you, but I've been on a fish or on a duck boat in the Dells, and it is great fun, but I can't imagine the terror of being with your family and then having a storm come up quickly. Probably the saddest part of that story is also the fact that no one had on a life jacket. The disciples would not have had life jackets on the boat, so we can only imagine how terrified they must have been. It had been this long day. They'd been feeding the 5,000 with Jesus' help. They'd been gathering up the leftovers. They had been at it from dawn till dusk. And now at the close of the day, in the dark of the night, they go in the boat and the waves come up and they feel like they're going to be caught under when they see Jesus, who gives just a word: do not be afraid. And the storm stops and they are at the shore. This gospel today opens up for us two fears. First, the fear of scarcity, the fact that we wonder if we will have enough, and the fear of the storm. Not a lot has changed since the experience of the disciples, has it? There are times when we wonder, will we have enough? We look at the future and perhaps things that we are hoping to do, or retirement, or things that we are looking forward to with our family. And we look at maybe some of our financial resources and wonder, will I have enough? A member of our congregation who is very active in the Financial Peace University program has said that it was his wife and his realization that living day after day, week after week, wondering if they had enough was exhausting them to the point where they needed to change something. They were living out of a mentality of scarcity when they knew they had good jobs and an abundance of resources. That program helped them change how they looked at what they had and helps them feel like they have not only enough, but more than enough. Sometimes we need to have that refocus when it comes to whether or not the glass is half full or half empty. And the same is true with the fear we have of the storm. Sometimes those storms come to us in unexpected moments in life, storms of death and loss, sometimes storms of job loss or a change in our lifestyle that we must take on due to health. Sometimes those storms come up quickly. Sometimes we anticipate those storms, but they come in life. And sometimes we do live in fear. John's gospel says, do not live in that fear. Do not be afraid. See the signs all around you that Jesus will continue to calm the storms, that Jesus will continue to provide more than enough, all that you need from day to day. This sixth chapter of John, I believe, helps to turn our fears into faith. We know that the purpose of John's gospel is to do just that, to help us to see these signs along the way so that we may continue to trust in the one who is the sign of life, that being Jesus himself. But sometimes we just need evidence. Sometimes we just wish that God would make it so clear, maybe a bolt of lightning or a flash in the sky or a sign that says you're doing the right thing, you've made the right choice, you're on the right path. Did you hear about the time that Ole and Sven decided to go ice fishing? Well, they grabbed their fishing poles and found a good spot on the ice and they augured a hole and then they heard a voice. There are no fish under the ice. So they moved about 25 feet over, started to auger another hole. There are no fish under the ice. Well, Sven and Ole looked at each other, and then they looked up. Is that you, God? The voice came all the clearer. No, you fools, I'm the ice rink attendant. Wouldn't it be nice if the heavens opened and we heard a voice and it was clear? Indeed, that sign is before us this day, a sign that opens to us the possibilities that in Christ there is the opportunity to see miracles at work around us. In Christ, there is an opportunity for us to share the resources we have so that others may be fed. And at times when we doubt or when we are looking for signs, maybe we just need to be reminded of the baskets filled with the leftover bread. Or maybe we need to visualize that boat peacefully set against the shoreline. It is often the subtle ways that God has revealed himself to us in the midst of the storm or along the places of scarcity or unknowns when we discover again that God has been with us all along. Throughout these summer months, our blessing at the end of the service are actually words taken directly from the reading today from Ephesians. They paraphrase Paul's words to his church at the time, but they are beautiful words of sending for us in the midst of a world that looks at itself as scarce or perhaps lives in fear of the storms. That blessing says this: "May God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine, grant you the gifts of faith and hope." God's working power in you to do infinitely more than you can ask or imagine. What a blessing. What a wonderful word to be sent out with this day. To imagine that we are ones who, through Christ working in us, may enrich the lives of others, may in fact be signs of God's grace through him. Our words and our actions then become a blessing and instill faith. Fear replaced by faith. That is good news, a true wonder this morning. As I was preparing for this sermon, I wanted to actually have a loaf of Wonder Bread to show you today. Would you believe it's not on the market anymore? The closest thing I could find was this bread that I did buy today because I thought, well, it has the red and the blue, but you know what brand it is? Bimbo. Not sure this is a great bread to market for children, but obviously bread and white bread continues to say on it, enriched flour. There was a time when white bread seemed to be all the rage. In fact, I had someone leave worship last night that said they remembered when white bread and enriched flour and those things came out, they wanted to replace their mom's homemade bread with the good bread from the store. How interesting how we have changed our understanding of nutrition, what fills us up, what feeds us, what truly is enriching to us. Well, there is one who will continue to satisfy all of our hungers, who will continue to offer us peace that passes understanding, who is continuing to do more through you than you can ask or imagine. What a wonderful word to fill us and help us to go forth with good courage and joy. Amen.